news, business, and the latest information. This is a Bloomberg Radio Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellick. Good afternoon. A move lower for the S&P 500 index. 14 minutes to go before the close. Looking at a drop right now for the S&P of 0.2%. Has been fluctuating, but it is back below 2,000 at 1999. NASDAQ is down 30 points to 45.67, a drop there of 0.7%, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average is higher by 3 points, little changed at 17,070. Apple is tumbling. Apple shares down 4.2%, down $4.38 to $98.92. The 10-year up 5/32 at yield 2.42%. Bloomberg Sports, Ekaterina Makarova beat Victoria Azarenka to advance to the semifinals of the U.S. Open, where she will play two-time defending champ and top seed Serena Williams or Flavia Panetta. It is the first time Makarova has made it past the quarterfinals at one of the four annual Grand Slam tennis tournaments. Recapping, S&P now down 3 points, declining 0.2%. Pim and Carol, that is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. This is Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, my co-host Carol Masser. Shares of Tesla are down $2.95, 281.12 right now, nearly 6 million shares being traded. Alan Onsman of Bloomberg News and our Detroit Bureau giving us this story about Tesla Motors, of course, facing challenges from a variety of dealerships about how it sells its cars. Well, in Georgia, Tesla Motors says claims made in a petition filed on behalf of auto retailers in that state, the Georgia Automobile Dealers Association, says that this that they breached its license agreement, said that it is not valid. Alan, good to have you with us here on Taking Stock. Give us the details. What is at stake here? What's happening?
Well, hi there, Pim. Yeah, on Friday, just before everyone took off for Labor Day weekend, the Georgia Automobile Dealers Association filed a petition with the state Department of Revenue, which apparently regulates auto retailing in that state. And they said that Tesla had violated the terms of its dealer license in the state of Georgia, and therefore the state should revoke its license and ban it from continuing to sell its electric cars there. Tesla has a single store in the state in Marietta, just outside of Atlanta. And the issue seems to be Tesla got a special license in Georgia, not a general auto franchise license, but one that allows it to sell basically just under 150 cars a year. It's kind of a specialty license that they received. And the dealers claimed that Tesla had exceeded that volume limit, and therefore the state should cut them off. Tesla had not immediately seen that petition before the holiday, and then yesterday afternoon they did finally come back and say, you know, they're wrong. We didn't violate the petition. The unsaid fact seems to be that they didn't go above that that volume restriction that they have in Georgia, because, again, they are operating there with a sort of a special dispensation.
All right. So, Alan, that's one issue going on with Tesla. I think the thing that caught our attention just recently is that there's some headlines crossing that Tesla and the governor of Nevada, or Nevada, depending on how you're supposed to say it, talking about holding a press conference in Carson City tomorrow. And we know, right, Tesla has said Nevada is a possible site for their battery factory. Should we assume that this
correct.
Is what this is about, or what?
I think that is a very safe assumption. They are not officially confirming that. But, of course, in August, Tesla revealed that they had begun site preparation work near Reno, Nevada, in the northern part of the state, a large-scale facility that they've done initial site preparation on. However, they have continued to say they are looking at other states, including Arizona, California, New Mexico, and Texas. And Elon Musk has repeatedly said he wants to actually break ground at multiple sites, start development at multiple sites, and see which one has the best chances of being brought to fruition on the fastest timetable, because he's got a very specific time deadline that he has set. He wants the facility to be operational by 2017. Based on what's coming out today, it sure seems like, for the time being, Nevada is the choice. As you say, they've scheduled, there's a press conference, we're told, that will take place in Carson City at 4 p.m. local time tomorrow. It will involve Tesla, It will involve the governor and perhaps members of the legislature and economic development, local economic development authorities. Tesla is not confirming whether Elon Musk will be there or not. Again, a smart bet might be that he will be there. But it does seem that the company may want to go ahead and choose Nevada for the time being.
Well, we're going to have to watch that closely. We're going to be looking for your report. Alan Onsman of Bloomberg News. Shares of Tesla right now down about 1.5%, down $3.73 to $280.39 for TSLA.
You shout it while you're dancing on the dance floor.
Fashion and luxury e-tailers, man, they are definitely gaining ground. E-commerce overall, it is booming, about $1.5 trillion this year. We're talking about business-to-consumer e-commerce. And we've got the founder of One Luxury E-commerce Boutique. He is José Neves. He's founder and chief executive officer at Farfetch, normally based in London, but we find him in our Taking Stock studio on this Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, there are there's a fair amount of luxury e-tailers out there. What's special about yours?
Well, Farfetch is a revolutionary way of shopping for fashion because we basically bring together the best independent fashion boutiques from all around the world. We bring together boutiques from 25 countries, which means you can shop the streets of Milan, Paris, Rome, Miami, New York, L.A. And you can do all that from one easy-to-shop website.
José, I got to say, I think I'm probably the right demographic for this, only because if you don't get to travel a lot and you want to see what's going on in fashion or in the industry around the world, a site like Farfetch is a good way to do it. One of the things I've noticed is that because you're in the middle of the transaction, you seem to be the kind of corporate face in the sense of whether it's doing a return or whether it's shipping information or payment information. How do you guys make money in this?
We do provide a completely consistent and coherent experience to our users. So if the shopper is buying from a boutique in Europe, they don't have to worry. They're paying us. We're taking care of customer service. There's free returns. We'll collect your return wherever you are. And basically, we make money by charging commission to the store.
So for example, let's say you were doing some kind of apparel or you had a boutique, let's say in Brooklyn, or you had some place in Cambridge, and you wanted to offer your wares, your apparel, to people around the world. Call you up, and what happens? What are the steps?
Well, so first we vet our boutiques very carefully. So we have a team of 12 people visiting the boutiques, making sure they have the right level of service, the right level of merchandise. And once they're approved to our marketplace, that's it. We train them and we take over. So we take care of the photography, we take care of the logistics, customer service. We make sure our customers have an impeccable journey. It's a very easy to shop website, in fact.
So that commission covers the costs of doing that and then some?
Yes, exactly.
How much growth are you seeing? How much demand? Give us an idea of how much you've been kind of ramping up the business.
So the business has been growing very fast.
What's very fast?
We grew 100% year on year from last year to 2014.
Is that revenue growth or?
Revenue growth. And we're going to end the year well north of $300 million in sales.
You like that? $300 million. That's a lot of boutique shopping. Where do you see the biggest trends right now in terms of the customers? Where are they coming from? United States? What are they buying? Give us some detail.
It's a very global business. The United States is the largest market. It's around just under 30% of sales. But then we have a big business in Japan. We have a big business in China, Hong Kong, Brazil. So all the emerging markets are really important for us. And of course, Europe. I mean, the company's the HQ is in London, so UK is a strong market for us as well.
What seems to be the kind of items? If I go to your website and I look for women, I mean, you've got clothes, you've got bags, you've got shoes, you've got all kinds of stuff. What seems to be the most in demand?
Clothing is actually the main category, yeah. Which is counterintuitive because people think, you know, sizes and all that,
right.
Bags should be selling, you know, more, and I always get that question. But people love buying clothing online, and because the returns are so easy, so if it's not your size, it's free returns and we'll pick it up, basically. It does extremely well for us.
Right now, this is the back-to-school season. I mean, we were speaking earlier about various stocks to invest in, JCPenney and so on. Based on what you see, what kind of activity? Can you give us some seasonality? What are people buying now? What happens, let's say, in the next couple of months? What are you gearing up for?
Well, you know, the fashion industry starts the winter season very early. So the new collections, they hit the stores in June, July. The pre-collections, really, and then proper, you know, fall, winter is now. So it's now coming into the stores. And with the heat wave we have here in New York, you wonder...
A little counterintuitive, but get your scarf, gloves, and overcoat. Want to thank you very much, Jose Neves. He is the founder, the chief executive of Farfetch. You're listening to Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio.